You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
You don't need anything. We're live, baby. Ladies and gentlemen, that voice you heard a second ago, the head coach of the Cleveland Browns. We said we're going to bring you his press conference from earlier, but why do that when we can have him live here in studio in the Dog Bowl in Berea? Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, and of course, the head coach of our Cleveland Browns, Mr. Mike Pettine. Coach, how are you?
I'm doing great. It's time for football.
Yes, it is. The pads come on tomorrow. I want to go back, though, to the beginning of training camp. Words into actions. And that's something that certainly has caught a lot of steam, a lot of buzz. Players talking about it. I know the media is talking about it. Where did that kind of come from? And have you seen that in the early going?
I have. I've been very pleased with our guys' approach. It's been very businesslike. I think a lot of guys have taken it to heart. We challenge them to take your own personal inventory. What am I doing well? What am I not doing well? Elicit the feedback of your position coach, and go out and work to get better. And that's why this camp, I don't know how much buzz or excitement there is or all that, and the splash plays and all those things. I just think it's guys going out there and working hard at their craft to get better, and that's what's important.
What has stood out to you the most about this team through 2 days? And I know football really starts tomorrow with the pads coming on, but what have you been the most pleased with?
The conditioning and the carryover from the mental part of it from the spring. That these guys are very professional. They handle their business well over the break. And as a coaching staff or as an organization, you're always kind of apprehensive when your guys leave the building, and you're going on the internet or picking up the paper every day, and there's something going on, and you're hopefully it's not preceded by, Cleveland Browns player doing this. And I thought our guys handled themselves well, and it's obvious based on the conditioning test results that they took care of the physical business over the break. And it's obvious from just kind of where we are from when you're just kind of charting mental errors from the first couple days that they handled that business as well. Because if you just shut down and don't look at it, it doesn't come back to you easy. You got to get back through it, or you have to constantly stay on top of it. So that's one thing that we do feel we have a very mature group.
Coach, so far with Josh McCown, have you been impressed with what you've seen in 2 days? And for the fans that have been here and for us watching practice, is him playing within himself that we've seen the first 2 days of practice enough to win football games each and every Sunday, knowing you're gonna rest on your laurels of a great defense and your ability to run the football?
Sure. What you see is what you get, and he's basically been through these first 2 days what he was at through the spring for us, and we're going to let Josh play. I mean, that's, we're not going to, all this stuff about being conservative and game management and play to your defense and run the ball. You can look at the flip side of it when you feel that you can be dominant on defense, that you can open up offensively a little bit, knowing that, hey, I can be a little bit more aggressive, knowing the defense is going to have our back. So we're certainly not going to go into any game saying, hey, three field goals wins this one. We want to be explosive on offense. We talked about that the first team meeting, that we're not going to let just what people think about us on paper dictate how we feel our offense should be. We want to gain yards and score points.
This is my third training camp, kind of charting every play, watching everything up close, and I thought Josh McCown, some of the throws he made today, thought it was the best passing game performance I've seen from a Browns quarterback in training camp. And I granted, pads weren't on, but what kind of confidence does that give you? And you could see the team swell with a little bit of confidence, certainly on the offensive side of the ball today.
Well, I just think they see Josh in the meeting room, and they see it, how hard he works, and then how that carried over to the field. I mean, let's not forget that when you look back to Chicago 2 years ago when he was there, and the numbers he was able to put up, and you can, if you want to compare the supporting cast, go ahead, but that you can make an argument that he has a better supporting cast around him here. And in eight games, he threw for over 1,800 yards, 13-1 touchdown interception ratio, 67% of his passes. So it's something that we feel good about where we are with that position. Not just Josh, but the other guys in the room, whether it's Johnny, whether it's Thad, whether it's Connor. But part of it too is the system, and that's what we're just kind of growing and learning. Kind of what do we do well? What do we not do well? That we don't want to get too overhyped about Josh's performance, let's say today, because at the same time you're there's 10 other guys out there. You got to be protected. You got to run the right routes. You got to catch the ball. So it's all part of the team concept and just looking back these first 2 days, we feel good about where we are, but know that it's still a mountain to climb.
Coach, you've got three very talented running backs, but yet still very young and inexperienced when it comes to the NFL football game. What are you looking for to kind of judge and grade who becomes, you know, the significant role player, or I mean the kind of the bell cow for this football team throughout the next 25 days, you know, once these pads come on?
Well, I think all the three that you're talking about, Crow and Terrence and Duke, it's very unique skill sets, and there's, you know, Duke is more of the finesse back, even though he can still run with some power, but you can look at him as more of put him in the third down category, but there's still, I mean, he could play all downs. You know, Crow, your typical power back, and I think Terrence is kind of a blend of the two, that there's some shared skill set there, so I think we're going to teach it to them all in the beginning, and then we'll get to the point where we play to their strengths as we move on and start to game plan specifically for those guys. But for now, we're looking for them for, hey, go out, whatever your job is, execute your job. And first and foremost, we've stressed it to the entire team. Offense, it's all about ball security. Defense, it's all about taking the ball away, because we know that wins and loses games. And that's why that's going to be a big part of the running back rotation as well, that we have to do a great job protecting the football first and foremost, and then also the pass protection part, making sure we're keeping our quarterback clean is another part of it as well.
Got to be able to run the football on offense, stop the run on defense, something last year that was lacking. We know it's the mantra. How excited are you to see Danny Shelton, Randy Starks, Xavier Cooper, Nate Orchard, some of your new toys up front in pads for the first time in that run drill you alluded to in your press conference?
Yeah, that's one that I'm very much looking forward to, because that's really going to define our season. How well do we run the football? How well do we stop the run? Because a lot of, there's just that ripple effect from that. When you run the ball well, it gets you in advantageous down and distance situations for your quarterback. You're in second and medium, second and short. You're in third and medium, third and short. Third and short, we have the ability to run the ball now, keep defenses honest. You don't see a lot of those overload pressures when the threat of run is still there. And when you can stop the run, it's the exact opposite. Now you're looking at second and long. I can tee off. Third and long now, the no threat of run is there. I can get very exotic. You know, Jimmy Owen can get that, you know, fill up that grease board with some exotic pressures and bring it from all directions. And that's where it's fun, but you have to earn the right to get to those situations defensively. So that's critical for us, and that's why that drill for us every day that we're in pads is important for the development of the personality of this team.
When you go back with the coaches and the personnel people and you're watching tape, and let's say on a scale of 1 to 10, how much importance do you put on a practice with no pads, and how much is it once the pads come on in your evaluation process?
I mean, you evaluate what, you know, the work that you've done. So just we understand that there's a little bit of an asterisk next to the ones that are in shorts. There's a lot of – you just grade the stuff that you know still pertains, the mental part of it. You know, the angles to the football, are we running the right routes, those types of things. The physicality part, that a guy get beat on a pass rush, yeah, he might have, but would he have gotten, you know, you kind of have to extrapolate it out over, okay, if he had pads on, how different would it have been? So, you know, the practices are important. The physical, mental part of it's all still there, but we just look forward to getting into full pads where it's as close to, you know, as you would say, real football as possible.
Coach, one of the observations both Nathan and I had today was the defense. The groups were rotating as if it were, you know, in season with the different packages. But offensively, you had Josh McCown out there with Lenz, with Cone, you know, Crow running with, you know, Connor Shaw or Thad Lewis. Is there any mentality behind that, or is just, you know, John DeFlo's best way of, I don't care who it is, I want you to grasp our concepts?
Yeah, and we talk about that a lot, that you have to learn the concepts, especially in the pass game. That I think one of the cornerstones of a flip system is interchangeable parts, that we can be in a personnel grouping where we have two tight ends on the field with two wide outs. We can have three wide outs on the field with one tight end. We can be in one tight end, two wide outs, two running backs. But the pass concepts, everybody has to learn it that way. So that way we can call the same pass play in a game from three different personnel groupings. It looks entirely different to a defense, but it's easy learning for us because it's practice reps that we've got, and it's the same call. So that's very important from a depth standpoint. You get an injury, next thing you know, you can throw a tight end in and essentially put him at a wide out spot, whether it's a Malcolm Johnson or a Rob Hauser or even a Duke Johnson, can put at that wide out position because they understand the pass concept. So I think that's important because it helps you from a depth standpoint. It always allows you to have your best 11 on the field, and then it helps to insulate you from injury that you can pop some other guys in there.
One guy who's really stood out to me so far on the field is Tremon Williams, and I want to talk about what a luxury it is to have a guy like that opposite Joe Hayden. But he did something today that really stood out to me as well. After practice was over, he took about 15 minutes of his own time to work with Terrell Pryor on his releases off the line of scrimmage, going over all these different things, trying to show Terrell Pryor how a DB would react to that. This guy's been with the Browns less than a year. He's a high-paid, veteran. He does not have to do that. What does that say to you about Tremon Williams?
It just speaks to who he is. I mean, you look at, that's a perfect example. You look at Josh McCown. Johnny Manziel hit a nice route today, and the first guy ran up to him like a little kid, jumped on his back to congratulate him. Was Josh?
It's very noticeable.
And it's real. There's nothing forced there. That's just who they are. They love football. They love being part of a team. And to me, when you fill your team with guys like that, then you got a chance to be special.
Coach, as I evaluate this roster, and this question is kind of more so for clarity for the fans, I feel like there's many different position groups that you have: defensive line, inside linebackers opposite Carlos Dansby, the wide receiver position, the tight end position, where so many fans look at, well, who's starting for the Cleveland Browns? And I think the great thing about accumulating depth and talent is the amount of groupings that you'll have offensively, the amount of groupings that you have defensively, is you might have 17 to 18 quality starter caliber players because of the type of personnel that you guys will roll through here.
That's why I always feel bad when I get asked, who are we going to announce as starters?
Yeah.
I'm like, well, can we do 13 or 14 guys?
Yeah.
Because that's really what it is. And it's also confirmation that you're building the roster right, that Ray and his group and personnel and the coaching staff, when we evaluate people and get them here, and you look at it, you find way, if a guy has starter qualities, you find way to find ways to get him on the field. So in the way the NFL nowadays is so specialized that offensively that you could be in first five plays of the game, very easily be in five different personnel groupings.
Yep.
and same on defense. So I never really look at it as, who's a starter, who's your starting 11, because it's just really not the case anymore.
Right.
You got a lot of personnel groups. We had Christian Kirksey in here yesterday.
Exactly.
And he was talking about, Craig and I both kind of start. We all have our specific packages. One guy I want to ask you about, because really not a lot has been made about him so far. He hasn't done anything great. It doesn't seem like he's done anything egregiously bad either, is Justin Gilbert, where he's at as he gets ready for a second season. And if it helps to have a Tremon Williams kind of take the pressure off him, but also be somebody who can help teach him as he goes along.
I think that helps tremendously having Tremon here. I think Justin's off to a good start. That you could tell it's important to him. And I'm just looking forward to get him out there and playing, because he's a guy that we're still very confident that he's going to develop into the player that we believe he can be. And when you surround him with guys like Joe Hayden and Tremon Williams, those guys, that those role models to look up to every day, that you can't help but that want to get better, just seeing how those guys have persevered over time and how they've earned the second contract and the third contract and how they've handled their business. And I think that's important, that when you bring in a guy like Tremon, and I still go back to the McCown example on offense, those two types of guys that are not only good players but great role models for your young players.
So today I observed something for the first time. Dante Winter did not do this at all last year, but he went over, gave the offense their props, even tweeted out giving the offense their props for what they did today. But he came over and said, this is all great. Wait till we get the pads on tomorrow and we get to bump you around and rough you up a little bit. Do you love that competitiveness? And are we going to see the orange jersey competitions come back? And if so, when?
They will start tomorrow with pads on, but it's a jersey competition. No guarantee that it's for an orange jersey, though. I'll just leave it at that.
Okay.
I'll
a new wrinkle, a twist.
I'll leave a little
cliffhanger.
I'll leave a little suspense with that one. But it's it's always good to get guys out there to compete. And for as simple as something as wearing a jersey, and I was even surprised at how much our guys really took to it and enjoyed the competitive part of it. But that's what it's all about. The guys are going to go hard after each other. But at the end of the day, realize we're all wearing the same logo, and it's all for the betterment of the team. And it was good to see the offense hit a couple plays today, and defensive guys have their feathers get ruffled a little bit. Even in Pascal, when I think our offense completed, I know that's an offensive drill, but I think our offense completed. It was upwards of 9-10 in a row in Skell, and I walked over to O'Neill and said, "What's next on the call sheet? How are you going to break up the no hitter?" And about two plays
nice
later,
poke.
there was finally finally an incomplete pass. So, but those guys, they're prideful and they love to compete, and that's what this year is all about. We talk about words into action. That I'm going to challenge those defensive guys a lot, and I hope our offense is up to the task to challenge them. And it seems we have the right guys out there to do it. But if we want to get to where we want to be, it's both sides are going to have to take their turns dominating.
All right, Coach, we appreciate you taking the time. I know you're very excited. My final one, fashion questions. I'm a proponent of the bucket hat movement. I've seen you with the bucket hat out there. What's the story with that? Camouflage? It looks good.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for them to come up with Brown's jean shorts. The jorts, so I can wear I can wear them for practice. I'm going to talk to Brad Mellon and
see if we can
get Nike to come up with them so I can wear them.
I'll be second on the list.
I'm pretty sure that we can make that happen. And then your pop's coming to town now with the pads coming on. He's ready to come see some Browns football.
He is. He didn't want to come see us play flag football anymore. He watched enough of that in the spring. So he's arriving in town tonight. He'll be out for practice. And he's one of the reasons why I am wearing the bucket hat, though, because he's just gets on me about getting too much sun.
That's right.
Spent the summer getting a decent amount of sun, so wanted to cover up a little bit during training camp. So he'll be happy to see that. He'll just have to figure out something else to be grumpy about.
You just keep knocking him off the list, and he keeps adding somehow. The head coach of your Cleveland Browns, Mike Pettine, thanks so much for the time. Looking forward to tomorrow's practice.
Great. As always, thanks for having me.
Thank you very much. All right, we'll be back wrapping things up. Final thoughts here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.